not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are you not my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain." Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake because the ploughman should plough in hope and the thresher thresh in the hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such position. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid on me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be with you all. Good to welcome some people back from holidays. I hope you had a fantastic time. Yes, as Sam said, we are back in 1 Corinthians, which is a bit more our kind of bread and butter of going through a book of the Bible. Rather than jumping around a bit, let me pray for us again and then we'll get stuck in. Father God, thank you that you save us. You are the God of grace. Though we deserved nothing but your judgment, you saved us out of the life of evil, rebellion, sin, out of the life of selfishness, greed, anger. Thank you that you saved us for something. Thank you, you saved us for life with you. And we pray this afternoon you'd help us see more of what that life looks like so that we may walk it all the more and enjoy it all the more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you want to keep your Bibles open, we're in chapter 9. And you might notice, if you look down with me at 8 verse 9, "But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." And then you look down as well into chapter 9, verse 4. Do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife? So even though we've unhelpfully probably left chapter 8 in the summer and rejoined in chapter 9, You can see that there's a similar theme going on here. Paul's talking about their rights and not being a stumbling block in chapter 8. And he's talking about his rights as an apostle in chapter 9. What right does Paul say he has in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 9? He has a right to eat and drink, and we'll see more of what he means by that in a moment. What other right does he have? Yeah, to be married, yeah? Now, he picks up the first of those examples in a big way in chapter 9, the right to earn it for a living. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And there's a reason why he's using an example based on what he's been talking about in chapter 8. But we'll get to that as well. Okay? He says, I have the right to ask for your support, for your money, so that he would be supported as an apostle. Yeah? That's Paul speaking. He says, I have that right. And he uses a number of examples, some from the world and some from the word. So put your hand up here if you got paid this week. No one got paid. Okay, try that again. Put your hand up. Okay, you didn't get paid. Okay, but put your hand up if you did some work with the expectation that you would get paid for that work. There you go. Thank you. We're all on the same page now. It is true in the world, isn't it? That when people do some work, that they get some receive. They receive something for that work. And Paul says in verse seven, he gives three examples. The first example he gives is a soldier. He says in verse 7, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? It'd be interesting, wouldn't it, if soldiers turned up to their training on day one and they said, there's your, what do they call the place where they sleep? Barracks, yeah. There's your barracks, there's your equipment, there's, you know, all of the stuff in your clothing, and that will be £5,336, please, on day one. That would be weird, wouldn't it? It doesn't work, because what they need for the job of a soldier is that stuff. It's necessary for them to fulfill their role. And Paul says, just like that, an apostle, someone who is a gospel worker, needs certain things to be able to fulfill that role. And so he uses the example of a soldier. And the second example he uses in chapter 7 is someone planting a vineyard. Here's a picture. The guy who is planting the vineyard has tended to the vines and is pulling off the grapes. You expect him, don't you, to enjoy something of the fruit of that labor. Whether it's in a vineyard or allotment, you expect them to get something that they themselves reap from what they've invested in. That's just normal. That's the way of the world. Last one. The farmer. He looks after the flocks, tends the flock in verse 7. Who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? It would be ludicrous, wouldn't it, if this guy goes away and he goes, well, I obviously can't have any of that milk. I'm going to have to go down to the supermarket and buy it and pay the full price for it. You know, the fact that a farmer would not drink some of the milk from his own cows, it's just ludicrous, isn't it? And Paul says all of these things to show that in the world, it is true. It's a true principle that people always benefit from their work in some way. They get to reap some of the benefits from it. And we'll get to why he's talking about this in a minute. And then he says in verse 8, well, what is this just human authority then? Am I just using the world as the example? You know, it's not very good for an apostle to only be referring to things that people do in the world. Surely he's going to be teaching God's word as well. Well, in verse 8 he does. He says, does not the law say the same? The law actually says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Did you know that? So if you use an ox for work on your farm, which you obviously have, your patch of ground, you are not to muzzle the ox as it is doing that, or whatever work animal you've got. They are able, as you would expect, the cow, whoever it is, just to chomp along as it's going along. Yeah? That is normal, isn't it? You don't expect the cow to go, no, I'm not allowed to eat the grass. You know, I'm just going to carry on doing my work. So Paul points that passage from Deuteronomy and he says, it is There's a stipulation in God's law to say that those who work, even the ox, even the animal who works, gets to reap some of the rewards, the benefits of that. And then he says, well, it can't just mean only on the occasion of an ox and a farm, but it must also relate to God's workers, people who work in the household of God, apostles, people who work in that profession too. So he says, Paul, he says, I have the right. Paul is making that point loud and clear. I have the right to ask for something from you. I've been preaching the gospel to you. I have the right to ask for something in return. But then there's a big surprise. Because in at second half of verse 12, he says, we have not made use of this right. That's surprising, isn't it? He can, according to God's law, according to the way of the world, no one would disagree with him for asking for something from them, as you know, to support him in that work. But he said, we did not make use of that right. Why? Why not? Just chat to the person next to you. Why not? Why didn't Paul make use of it? Maybe there's some answers in the passage. Just chat to the person next to you. What have we got? What's the reason? Why is Paul not doing that? Why is he not making use of his right? Verse 19, the same principle. I've made myself a servant to all. And he gives a reason there, doesn't he? He says that I may win more of them. That I might win more of them. And then if you look down with me in verse 22, it says, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. So Paul gives us a little bit of the background of why he didn't make use of that right as an apostle. He could have done. He says, actually, I did it so there wouldn't be an obstacle to the gospel going forward. And often in places, he was going to new places where they wouldn't have been able to support him. So he wasn't doing it because they could pay for it. And he says that he does it so that more people would be saved. That's his underlying motivation for doing what he's doing. You might have picked up in verse 2, he says, if to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you. The reason Paul is saying that is because there were some people who were claiming that Paul was not a real apostle. And they were using the fact that he was willing to work instead of to take a salary as an admission from him that he wasn't a genuine apostle. And Paul's actually doing two things at once. He's giving the Corinthians an example of giving up a right, as he's going to call for them to do. But at the same time, he's also defending his credentials as an apostle. He's saying, I am an apostle, even though some people would say that I'm not. But it is quite surprising, isn't it, that he would forego a right or give up something that he has a right to do. Let's think of some examples. Like, it's so countercultural to say that someone who has every right to do something would willingly choose not to do that thing, isn't it? Usually, that is the baseline. People say, I have a right to do this, and that means if I want to do it, I'm going to do it anyway. That's basically why we say that. And here we have a man saying, I had a right to do this, and yet I didn't do it. And he does it because he does it for their sake. So he's saying, I didn't do it out of concern for others. And that is striking, isn't it? For someone to say, I am not going to do the thing which is most beneficial to me for the sake of others, out of concern for others. And in this case, concern for them hearing the gospel. That is really surprising. He says, I have not made use of any of these rights. He says it twice in verse 12. He says it in verse 15. We did not make use of this right. Now remember, Corinthian church, they were arguing with one another. They were arguing over whether they had a right to eat this meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Yeah? That's what they were arguing over. You still with us, George? Yep. Long flight. whether they had a right to eat this meat. And they were saying, well, if we have the right to do it, then surely we should just crack on and eat the meat. Paul is using this example of a time when he forwent a right of his to show that there is times as a Christian where you need to... Is the heating on, by the way? Can someone check? When there's times as a Christian where you need to lay down your rights, where you don't choose to do the thing that you can do, but you choose not to do it, and you do it for the sake of others. And this is one of those examples. So for the Corinthians, what were they thinking? Well, they were thinking, does the law say that we can do this or not? And Paul will get to an answer to their question. They said there's been this meat that's been sacrificed in the temple. Some people with a weak conscience, maybe people from that idol worship background who have been converted, they're saying, well, I don't feel comfortable with this. My conscience is saying, no, this is wrong. And other people are saying, well, of course it's okay, because there are no such things as idols. God's word says that there are no idols. They're not real gods. So we're right. We're in the right. We're going to go ahead and do it. And Paul says he uses his own example of not using his rights out of love for others to expose something, to expose that they're only really doing it what suits them. They're only really doing. They're using actually God's law as an excuse not to love their brothers and sisters. Yeah. What does the law say? Well, the law is about love for God, and it's about love for others. First five commandments, about love for God, aren't they? God is number one. Don't have any other gods apart from him. Honor him in your words on the Sabbath. Second half, 5:6-10, is all about how we treat other people. Honor your father and mother, you know, don't commit adultery, all of those kind of things. It's all about how we treat others. And it's very easy, and at this point in time, they're thinking that they are following God's law, but actually, they are using the law to justify not being loving towards their brothers and sisters. And Paul says that's not what the law is for. It should make us loving and can have more concern for our brothers and sisters. And so, if the Corinthians were like that, they would be willing to just leave that one meal, to not have one meal. That's all it boils down to, isn't it? They've got the meat, they found out where it's from, they're sitting down to eat, it looks really tasty, been prepared really nicely, my stomach's rumbling. But I see my brother or sister and I think, yeah, they were associated with this before, this is really uncomfortable for them. And he says, all it would be is a choice to forego something now. Give us something in this life now. But Paul can do that. And it's because he's learned to look to the future, to look to what he has in Christ for eternity. And so rather than just focusing on here and now and what we get from this life, he's free. He's free to actually not get everything that he can in the here and now, to pass up that opportunity because he's got a greater purpose that he's living for. Do you get that? So he's saying, I didn't do it, but not because I'm a wonderful person, but because there's something bigger at play here. There's something more important at play here. There's the glory of Jesus in the gospel going out to people. And he says some surprising things. He says he would be willing to be all things to all men. He says that, doesn't he? Verse 22 again. I have become all things to all people. Have you heard anyone use that expression? No? No. She's trying to be all things to all men. You heard people say that? No. Okay. Yes, men, thank you. Yeah, so someone who is trying to just please everyone. You know, the person who's in They call it, so they're trying to be jollof rice, okay? Where they're trying to please everyone, yeah? And so it's said in quite a negative sense, isn't it? Of they're trying to be all things to all people. They're just trying to please everyone. Whereas here in the original, it's actually a positive because it's a principle that flows out of the gospel. It's a principle that flows out of the gospel. That if Christ has done all this for me, what would I not be willing to do for him? If Christ has done all this for me, what would I not be willing to do for those whom he has saved? When you put it like that, you think, it is ridiculous to say, I have this right, I am going to have this meal. That's stubbornly selfish, isn't it, really? So small-minded, and it creates a lack of joy in the Christian life. Whereas the way that says points us outwards to each other, that is the what we have been set free for as Christians. That's what we've been set free for. So, look, he didn't use that right. He could have asked for money from them. He didn't use it out of concern for others. And that is the example that he's giving so that they might follow in his example. So lastly then, let me just show you this. Though I am free, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. Paul is driven by the glory of Jesus, by the desire for people to hear the same gospel that saved him. It's amazing, isn't it? And that, there's no wonder then that Paul can say, imitate me. He says that in the, if you turn over the page, 11 verse 1. This is why it's not helpful to have chapter breaks sometimes, because that is clearly the last verse of this whole section. He says, be imitators of me. Be imitators of Paul. Imitate Paul in giving up your rights, in laying down your preference, in even being willing to go without the things that you would want or the things that you need. Because you know that in Christ you have all that you need. And because you know that there is a greater purpose, a greater thing at stake here, the glory of Christ. And so actually, if they'd done that, if they'd seen what was ahead of them, if they'd seen what they had in Christ, they would be willing to give up the thing in the here and now. That meal, it doesn't matter. Instead, they would be willing to not be a stumbling block to the weak. That's what he says in verse 9. If there's something that you're doing as a Christian, even if you have the right to do it according to the word of God, if you're doing it and it is being a stumbling block to another Christian, be willing to stop doing it. You don't need to do it. I think of some examples where I could say, oh, well, actually, I can watch this horror film. It doesn't really affect me. But I'm with my other Christian friends, and for them, it really, they struggle with the occult and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just not thinking of them, and I'm saying, oh, this is what I want. Or alcohol. I might be thinking, oh, well, it doesn't bother me. It's not a stumbling block for me. I can have one drink, that's fine. But maybe to other people from another background, alcohol is associated with something. Maybe a different religion. Or maybe they've had some really bad experiences of it. And if we're saying as Christians, oh, it doesn't matter, just going to crack on and do it, we are choosing to be a stumbling block to the weak. And Paul puts it even more strongly than that. He says, verse 12, thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak. Sorry, chapter 8, verse 12. And thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. It's pretty strong, isn't it? Couldn't put it much more strongly than that. To do this would be to sin against Christ. So don't take care not to be a stumbling block to the weak. Be willing to lay down your rights to build your brothers and sisters up. There will be times as a Christian where you consciously need to say to yourself, though I have a right to do this, I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to do it because I want to build my brother or sister up in the gospel. You see, the stumbling block is where it causes them to question or doubt something of their faith. They think, well, it doesn't make a difference. You know, this is really confused me now. I thought that following Jesus was important, and this person's behavior seems to suggest it's not. This one about building your brothers and sisters up, well, I want to be an example to others. I want to, you know, yes, I can spend all of my time. Maybe I am allowed to, as a Christian, spend loads of time doing something for myself on my day off. But maybe, with a gospel view in mind, I'm thinking, how can I love and serve my brothers and sisters with the time that God has given me? That's a different way of thinking, isn't it? It's really challenging me. Like, you may think, okay, I like spending time with people. There are days when I don't want to spend time with people, and I don't want to spend time with you either, to be honest. And it would be much easier for me to sit and watch whatever it is on the computer and just be in my own little world. Much easier. But Paul says, lay down your life, because Christ has laid down his life for you. And actually, that is the way to more joy in the Christian life. To more enjoyment of Christ, because we're enjoying his people and we're actually doing what he taught us to do, which is to serve one another. Let's pray. Father God, we do struggle to not be selfish, to not choose only what will serve ourselves. We're constantly thinking of the effect that things will have on us personally. Even in sometimes being willing to wait for others to go first in the queue, it really grates on us, and it shows really just how focused on this life we are. And yet, thank you for your example. Thank you that you have not considered equality with God something to be grasped, but you're willing to empty yourself, to be not treated as the one who is Lord of all, but to be treated as a slave, as a servant, and ultimately to be treated as a criminal with a criminal's death. Thank you that you did that out of love for us, and thank you that that love compels us, that there is that love in our veins because of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would help us to die to self and to live for you, to live for your glory, not for the here and now, to live for the future that we have laid up for us with you, not to keep hold of clenched fist everything that we can get from this experience now. And we pray that we'd be willing to do that for out of love for you and serving others and laying down our lives, because we know that you have done that for us, and out of joy because you have loved us first. We thank you for the example of Paul. Thank you for the rights that he gave up so the gospel may go forth. And thank you that through him the gospel went to the ends of the earth, and that we are beneficiaries of that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.